Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Labor Day morning. Hope everybody's having a fabulous weekend to this point. Titans in action coming up next week, so we have officially made it to week one in the NFL. And to help us talk more about that, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. You looked fantastic on TV on Saturday morning. I really enjoyed it.
Oh yeah, I appreciate you watching the program. We broke ground in journalism greatness.
You did. It was a sight to behold. Corey Curtis, a nice orange tie up there on Saturday.
The only one I got. I busted it out.
I was glad to see it. It looked great. You pulled it off very well. Corey, we've made it to week one of the NFL season. Titans taking on the Saints coming up on Sunday. Saints a 3-point favorite in this game, by the way, so check that out on the FanDuel Sportsbook. What's your takeaway as you map through everything we've discussed in the preseason, your outlook for this team as we begin the season coming up on Sunday? How good do you think the Titans are as they're heading into this year?
Well, I'm going to be really boring on this because when I look at this team, I look at it the same way I've looked at it from the spring and all through the summer. I think the defense can be really good if it stays healthy. And I think, you know, the offense has weapons, but it all comes down to the five guys up front. I mean, that's what I – health and the five guys up front are what I boiled this season down to. And so that hasn't changed. I don't think that they've answered enough questions up front, but I don't think that they've failed enough up front to think, oh, that they can't do it. I think it's still kind of a mystery going in. Look, the offensive line can't be worse than it was last year. I say that, but I don't think it can be. So I expect them to contend for the division.
Yeah, I agree, Corey. I think it comes down to that. I agree that it can't be worse. I have no idea really what to expect. I am probably most intrigued just by the offense itself. And as you know, Corey, some things we've seen in practice have not been tried out in preseason games. And look, I don't know. You know, I think you're going to have some different looks week to week. But how would you describe what you think we're going to see from Tim Kelly in this offense in terms of approach?
Well, and this isn't by what we've seen in practice. We're not allowed, obviously, to give that away. This is by what they have brought in. This is what they have invested in financially and through the draft. I expect them to, you know, obviously Derrick Henry is still going to be a heavy part of the offense, but I expect them to spread it around a little bit more, and that includes the passing game. You don't pay DeAndre Hopkins $15 million a year to block. You don't use, what was it, the 16th pick of the draft on Treylon Burks for him to block. Chig Okonkwo, you've anointed your number one tight end. You used a third-round pick on Tajay Spears, you know, to play behind Derrick Henry, which means there's things you think he can do that Derrick can't that could help you. And so I think, you know, whether it be a quick passing game or just a little bit more of a less obvious running game, you know, maybe a little bit more of a change-up with the passing game, you know, I hate to go back, you know, to be less predictable, maybe like Arthur Smith, but I think they've got to get the ball around to more people. And I think that's, you know, with the investments that are made, I think that is going to be the plan. I expect them, you know, to still be heavy Derrick Henry, but less predictable.
Corey, beyond the obvious of the injury part of this, which is impossible to predict as we sit here today, yeah, what's your biggest question mark on the defensive side of the ball? Side of the ball, which I agree with you, is going to be really good heading into this year.
Well, I know a lot of people would have question marks at middle linebacker, but they've shown they can plug pretty much anybody in there to come up and stop the run. You know, I think Aziz can defend the pass, but, you know, it's got to be the young cornerbacks. Can they hold up physically, number one, because they haven't, outside of McCreary, they haven't really shown that they can. Can they hold up physically? And then can they be the guys that they need them to be? Because with the front seven that we've talked about ad nauseum, you know, I think they're going to have opportunities to make plays this year. You know, there shouldn't be a shortage of interceptions for that group this year. The pressure that's going to be applied up front, you know, should create opportunities. And are those guys good enough to seize those opportunities and stay on the field? That's the real question for me.
How good do you think the Saints are, Corey? I think obviously not having Alvin Kamara right now is a problem for them. I like Derek Carr. They got some studs on defense. What do you think about them in this matchup?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, it's a good week one matchup because it's kind of a toss-up, right? You know, you're flipping a coin wondering how things are going to look. I think Derek Carr and Ryan Tannehill, I mean, I think you could draw some parallels between those and kind of call that maybe a toss-up at quarterback. So I think these teams are kind of evenly matched. I think they both got some struggles up front to prove they can do it. I like Chris Olave a lot. We've got to see if Michael Thomas can really come back and play. The advantage where I give to the Titans is the head coach. I think Mike Vrabel is superior. And that's why I expect the Titans to win a close one. And this one is because I think the coaching advantage tilts their way.
Corey Curtis with us here on Robbie and Rextro. Corey, now that you've seen Hopkins through the preseason participate as much as he has in the practices, all those things, what do you think are fair expectations for Hopkins from a production standpoint heading into this year?
I would be surprised if he didn't have a 1,000-yard season. Look, he was on a pace of 8 for 80 yards with Colt McCoy at quarterback. I think Ryan Tannehill's better than Colt McCoy. Now, obviously, they may not throw the ball as much as the Arizona offense did, but I don't think that, you know, 60 yards a game average is too much to expect from DeAndre Hopkins. I'm not saying he's having a 1,500-yard season. I'm saying a 1,000-yard season. That's what I expect. You know, he's been there for all of camp. I think he missed, what, 1 or 2 days? So, you know, if he stays healthy and, you know, he's looked good so far, I haven't seen, do I expect him to be the guy that he was 5 years ago? No, but what I still see still looks pretty darn good to me. I don't think I'm looking at that through two-tone glasses. I mean, we've seen our share of washed receivers come through here. I mean, when I saw Andre Johnson, I knew he didn't have much left in the tank. We all knew Julio Jones had a ton of injuries in his past to overcome. You know, Eric Moults was the size of a tight end when he got here. You know, so Randy Moss couldn't beat the Titans' second string DBs in practice. So, you know, there were reasons that we had doubts for all those guys. I haven't seen much of any reason to doubt DeAndre Hopkins. If somebody else has, that's great, and they can convince me, but I haven't. I've been impressed. I've been impressed by his work ethic. I've been impressed by the way he's gone out there. I mean, he's as fine of a combat catcher of the football as I've seen in the league, and that hasn't gone away.
Well, since we're going to do this week, Corey, I should ask you what you think, just the NFL at large. Like, who do you like this year? I don't know if you have a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But also, do you think the Titans ultimately are, like, how do you view them in the AFC picture, not just the AFC South?
Yeah, I mean, I do my predictions today, just like everybody else probably is. I'm going to try to formulate it. And look, it's hard to get past Kansas City and Philadelphia, right? I mean, they were just there in the Super Bowl last year, and they've got quarterback play. They've got weapons. You know, obviously the Chiefs have the Chris Jones situation, and that's legitimate. And, you know, the thing that we forget about the Eagles last year is I think they and Jacksonville were the two least injured teams in the league. And when you're healthy for the entire season, it makes you look awful good because everybody likes most of their guys when the season starts. The problem is most teams don't finish with them. And, you know, the Eagles were able to go start to finish with A.J. and Devontae Smith and Miles in the backfield and with Jalen Hurts. I mean, they were able to go. And so, you know, it's hard to believe those teams would get through as clean as they will last year. You know, and it's an NFC team. I think San Francisco can obviously challenge Philadelphia in there. And, you know, with the AFC, you know, you've got the quarterbacks. You know, you've got Joe Burrow. You've got Josh Allen. You know, you've got Patrick Mahomes. I know a lot of people like Justin Herbert, and understandably so. He's got to prove he can win at the next level. I think the Titans can be problematic for people if their offense can be okay, bust a big play or two a game, and have a defense that is, you know, I think if their defense can be dominant and create turnovers, they can win a lot of football games with what they've got. You know, it's impossible for me to put them in the Super Bowl conversation over Burrow, Allen, and Mahomes. Okay. Does that mean they can't beat those teams? No, because they beat them all before, except for Burrow. But, you know, the matchup in the day would have to go right. But I think the front seven, and I've said this since the spring, puts them in position to have a chance to win every game.
All right, Corey, last thing for you here. Who's worse this year, Houston or Indy?
You know, it's funny. I had Jared on the show last night, and, you know, the question I asked him was Indianapolis wins less than five games. And he acknowledged that that was possible. Like, you look at ownership of those two teams, and it's like a clown car with those guys coming out. And it's not a mistake when you've got clowns owning the team that you have a clown product on the field. So both of those organizations on the field have to overcome, you know, Bozo and Cookie up in the stands, in the owner's box. And so, you know, I think when the grand prize game comes down to it, they're both going to miss on like bucket number two. Okay. So they're both going to be bad. All right. I think the Anthony Richardson, I know there's some people who think he needs to get out there and he needs to play right now and blah, 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 blah. Maybe they're right. You've got Gardner Minshew. I don't think it would be a mistake to sprinkle Anthony Richardson in there for the first 6 weeks, get his feet wet, let Gardner Minshew guide the ship for a while and get him going. But, you know, if you're the Colts at the same time, the worst thing isn't finishing 3-14 and picking first or second. Because if you believe in your quarterback and you've got the first pick next year, somebody is going to trade you Fort Knox to get it. And it could be a potential, you know, Dallas Cowboys for Herschel Walker, you know, situation. And so I guess that's my long way of saying I just think the Colts are a disaster. And I think that they will be a little bit worse than the Texans, who have managed to get rid of, you know, the team pastor who was running the organization.
Hey, Packers Bears coming up on Sunday. I'm looking forward to it.
You know, does anybody know what to expect from either team?
I have no clue.
No, I have no clue. I mean, if it was 42-0 in either direction, I wouldn't be surprised.
We're going to find out.
You guys need to get together for that.
I know. We're going to find out. Looking forward to it coming up on Sunday. Corey, have fun today. Week one is finally upon us, and we'll talk to you next.
Okay, I think we need to have some kind of NFC North wager, okay? Because we've got our three teams. Maybe we get Audra Martin involved, where we all do something for the winner.
No, what do you mean we got our three teams?
We've got our three teams.
No, we don't got our three teams. I get the Vikings then. Fine, I'll take the Vikings.
Joe, you are Honolulu Blue through and through, no matter how much you try to deny it. It runs through your veins like Alex Karras through a wrestling ring.
Yes.
I mean, I do not make me lose my mind, Corey. I've worked very hard at this over decades. Do not try to derail me.
Do not shake it. I grew up watching the Cubs be terrible, okay? You can't. Your team is your team. That's just all there is to it.
Eighth best Super Bowl odds. Just throwing it out there. Eighth best.
Good God.
Eighth best. You know, no. Have you seen how the Lions have started each of the last 2 years?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, can't wait for next Thursday, for this Thursday. Oh, get ready again.
Thank you, Corey.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest on Robbie and Rex Row. We'll take a look at the Titans and the Saints. We've made it to week one in the National Football League. We'll look at that matchup coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.